Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey folks, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday we release these special episodes where we look back at content from the earlier years of the podcast. This week it's the Best of Funny Stuff number 5. But before we get to the funny stuff, we had a great conversation we recorded just yesterday all about how we're inviting you, yes, you, to come party with us in Portugal. Here's a little bit of what that sounds like. Hey folks, I'm here with JC Cassis, our business director. Say hello, JC.
Hello, JC.
And Ryan Opez, who is our friend who reached out to us with this idea about creating a 15th anniversary celebration in Portugal. Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Kevin. Hello, JC. Good to be here.
So, Ryan, how'd you get this idea to bring to us, to create this tour with us?
Well, I've been a fan of Risk since the beginning, and ever since the beginning, I've always wanted to do anything I could to support the show. I realized we could take and give back, not only by creating a fun experience for your audience, but also helping you raise a little bit of capital to make sure that the show lives on and continues. And that's the big thing for me, is to making sure that this is something that everybody who comes on this trip isn't just getting an awesome time. They're also helping fund the future of Risk.
Yeah, I love that this is kind of a brand new way of funding an arts project that you care so much about. So I love this idea of like, hey, you might be a traveler or a vacationer or trying to get out of town and do something new anyway. Why don't you do it with one of your favorite podcasters, with fans of that favorite podcast, in a beautiful location with an incredible experience, you know, and know that not only are you having the time of your life, but you're also helping to keep Risk going so that when you go back to your life, you still have Risk to listen to and support you through everything you go through in your life.
Yeah, this is the perfect example of, like, for the past couple of years, I've been saying, hey, we welcome any ideas from fans of different ways we could make money. And this is like the most fabulous.
And I thought, my job's telling stories, collecting stories, and your job is publishing stories. And I thought, you know, if we can take and give you a little bit of benefit, help you guys a little bit financially, and also get your listeners and yourselves over here to hear some new stories, different perspectives. I thought there couldn't be anything better than all those things coming together in one small package.
Travel always includes so many firsts, so many people trying things, learning things, meeting new people, creating experiences that you can tell stories about later. So this is, it's incredible to see the kinds of travel packages and tours that you put together at Catavino Tours. This one that we're planning is going to be in Lisbon and Porto. Tell us a little bit about some of the sites we'll be seeing and things we'll be doing.
Being Lisbon, that is the capital of Portugal, I thought it'd make sense to start there and head out and go digging for some of these stories and creating opportunities to listen and to share. So we're going to be going from inland to an area called the Alentejo, where there's a tradition of storytelling through singing. Another area that has that very strong is the Fado tradition of singing in Lisbon. So music is very important to some of the stories that we'll be experiencing when you're here. We're also getting out and walking around neighborhoods. We have a day that I know you've mentioned a few times, and I don't think people realize, but James Bond was created here. Ian Fleming created James Bond while living in Lisbon, and we're going to play on that. I know when I heard you bring it up in the promos and stuff, the thing is, I think most people are like, James Bond, why would we take Risk and James Bond together? But it's an amazing story that most people don't realize has a strong history with Lisbon. So we get to learn to make cocktails and whip around the city and learn about the spy culture of World War II here in Lisbon.
Sounds incredible.
That
I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm super excited to experience that with you guys. And then, yeah, we head up. We get to see some of the fishermen's wives up on the beaches of Nazaré. Nazaré being the place where the big waves are. The biggest wave in the world ever was surfed in Nazaré.
Wow.
I mean, I think what's so cool is we've structured this too, where we get to spend time with you. And being a longtime listener, part of me feels like I already know you, but I also know that when you sit down with somebody face to face across a table while eating a dinner or having a lunch, you see a whole new way of looking at a person or understanding, you know, their stories.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool that we've built in tons of full group time with the initial smaller group of 20 people coming on the 9-day trip and then 30 more people joining us for the final 3 days of the trip. So there'll be lots of big group celebrations and smaller group gatherings. But what's really cool is that everybody who comes on the 9-day trip is going to get an intimate dinner or lunch with me and Kevin, where it'll be me, Kevin, and just a few of the participants on the trip. So we'll really get to get in depth with each participant and hear stories from their lives and share stories from our lives. So it's just a great opportunity to make new friends, but also really get some quality time with this podcaster known as Kevin Ellison that many of these attendees will have been listening to for years and years.
And quality food. These are going to be some good dinners and lunches.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, the food is exceptional. The food is diverse. It's unique.
Yeah, we've had also interest expressed by people, Risk storytellers. So I really hope we have a few folks that people will already recognize as having heard on the show being on the trip as well.
Yeah. And I think it'll be so great to be able to travel with people you know, people you get to know on the trip, and also to have that insider experience that Ryan can give us with these places that we'll go that are probably not the places that you would find on your own. So it's kind of the ideal way to travel. It's this exciting once-in-a-lifetime experience for fans and with a great group of people, so you don't have to gather your own people and try to coordinate that. And you'll get higher quality experiences than you could ever get on your own.
Yeah, a lot of these places we're taking you to are very good friends of mine, and it's going to be like coming to a family and sharing meals and laughing. And I've been doing business here for almost 20 years and living here permanently for now 11. So this is my backyard. And if you have questions and you want to explore something or you've heard a story about something you need to see, I'm here. Even leading up to it, I know some people will probably want to maybe extend a day or two and do something else. Contact me. You got my email. You can take and reach out anytime, and I'm happy to give you ideas for things you can do and little extras you might want to explore on your own.
Yeah. And I think now is probably a good time to just remind people you can find information about this and let us know that you're interested in coming at risk-show.com/Portugal, or you can always just email us at kevin@risk-show.com or risk-show.com to let us know that you're interested, and we will direct you right over to Ryan to get the information you need and sign up.
One last thing is, we didn't mention it, but the last night of this, we're going to have a party, and it's going to be the 15th anniversary party, and we want as many people as possible to be there. We're going to have a DJ, we're going to have a mic, and I'm sure a bunch of storytellers in a room are probably going to have some things to say, so it should be a fun night that might not end too early. I think it'll be fun to, as it were, let down our hair.
Yep, come along. We want to go with you. We want a vacation with you. And that's that. Okay, thank you to Ryan and JC for recording that with me. Again, the place to go is risk-show.com/Portugal or email me at kevin@risk-show.com. Now, in a little bit, We're going to hear from Cole Kasdan, but first, a story from Josh Healy that he first shared on the podcast in November of 2013. You can find him at joshhealy.org, and here he is now with a story we call Rolling with Grandma.
So this is a story about the first time I ever helped an 86-year-old with her medication. If there's anything in the world that's more awesome than a little old grandma, it's a little old grandma-in-law, which is what I have, my wife's grandma, Phyllis. Now, Grandma Phyllis, she stands about 5'1" on a good day. She has bleached blonde hair, deep tan and wrinkles from her yearly trip to Hawaii. She lives in San Jose by herself, and she loves to talk liberal politics. But she is also deeply Southern Baptist, and the only one in her family who still goes to church every week. So she's like a combination of Rachel Maddow and Dana Carvey's church lady character from Saturday Night Live. Needless to say, me and her get along great. Now last year, Grandma Phyllis, unfortunately, she had this pinched nerve in her back. She said it hurt so much, it felt like Rush Limbaugh was sitting on her spine. She didn't like it. And so she went to the doctor, and the doctor said she had two choices to deal with the pain. She could either get the normal prescription painkillers, or she could get a prescription for medical marijuana. And I think you see where this is going. Now, the only conversation I'd ever had with Grandma Phyllis about anything even close to marijuana was 2 years ago at Thanksgiving. She had come over with her usual batch of home-baked desserts, and my wife jokingly asked, she said, "Grandma, are these special brownies?" To which Grandma Phyllis replied, "Of course these are special, honey. I made them myself. What could be more special than that?" Well, she was gonna find out. Because to deal with this back pain, Grandma Phyllis had decided that she didn't want any more painkillers, so she was gonna try what she politely called the plant medicine. And now she wasn't driving much these days, so she needed someone to take her to the clinic. And because everyone else in the family was busy, yes, I was the one who was gonna take Grandma to get her weed. So I actually, this may be, I'd never been to a pot club before. I don't have a card, despite the fact that I think every other friend of mine does. It seems like it's so easy to get one here in the Bay Area. You just create whatever health condition you need to get one. I've got anxiety, I sleep too much, I can't sleep, my fingernails are too tight, whatever it takes. And they have one. But this was different. This was Grandma Phyllis. So I was here to help her out. So the day comes, and I go to pick her up, and I take her to the club in downtown San Jose, the other club. And it didn't look like what I expected, like some sort of grimy underground circus type atmosphere. It was actually super clean, modern. There was brown couches lining the walls and soft indie rock music over the speakers. It kind of reminded me of Starbucks. And so we go up to the counter, and the clerk's standing there, and he's this nice tall guy, and he's got these like Buddy Holly glasses and a ZZ Top beard, and you know, he's just super cool. And he's just like, "So, can I help you two? It's me and Grandma Phyllis." And I can tell she's a little nervous, so I take the lead. And I'm like, yeah, trying to get something for my grandma-in-law? Phyllis? And the guy doesn't miss a beat. This is obviously nothing new to him. He's like, sure, no problem. Can I see your prescription? So we hand it to him. He takes a look at it. And then he goes into full salesman mode. He's like, well, all right, ma'am. These are our different options. You've got purple arugula. We've got Eureka's Envy. We've got Rainbow's Revenge. But this is what I would recommend for you right here, ma'am. This is called Grateful But Not Yet Dead. This, some of you may have had it. It's what I would give my own grandma. So this is more than enough endorsement for us. So we buy the prescribed amount, and I drive Grandma Phyllis back home. And I take her inside, and, you know, I make sure she's okay, and I'm about to put on my coat and get in my car and drive back home when, kind of out of nowhere, she stops me and she pulls out a box of rolling papers, looks, hands them to me in my direction, and says in her sweet little Southern Baptist voice, Josh, do you know how to roll a joint? I said, what? What was that, Grandma Phyllis? She said, well, I mean, you know, I figured that since you were here and, you know, my hands aren't too good these days and, well, do you think you could help me out? Well, now this was a situation I was not expecting, but I'm supposed to be here for Grandma Phyllis and for her health, so I'm like, sure, why not? So I start rolling the joint. And I'm nervous, because, I mean, I want to make it good, but I don't want to make it too good. You know what I mean? Like I'm a professional at this, with years of experience in the joint rolling industry. So I make it. Y'all still with me? So I make it in a mediocre, but still presentable fashion. I light it, and I pass it to Grandma Phyllis. And she takes it, and she looks at it for a second. And I'm thinking she might have second thoughts. But no. She puts it to her lips, and she takes a huge hit. And then another. And then another. And then she dumps the ash in the tray, and she casually holds it between her fingers. I say, Grandma Phyllis, have you done this before? She says, no, I don't think so. But could you find me a paperclip just for the little piece at the end? Fifteen minutes later, we're sitting on the couch, sucking on butterscotch candies and watching reruns of Golden Girls. I look over to her and I say, you know, it's 15 minutes later. I'm like, Grandma Phyllis, so what do you think? How are you feeling? How's your back? And she says, you know what? I don't feel any pain right now. Seems to be working. I'm like, yes, this is great. Medical marijuana actually serving a medical purpose. Grandma Phyllis is feeling better, and I'm feeling great about helping her out. So I'm just about to go put on my coat and leave again. When she stops me and she says, "You know, Josh, I'm probably not gonna need all of this. It's too much for me. Would you like to take some home?" I think about it for a second, maybe two, and smile and say, "No, Grandma, my back is just fine." Thank you all very much.
We'll be right back. We're back.
The recipe for Come Fuck Me Penne Alla Vodka has been circulating among the single women of Manhattan since the mid-90s, which is when I first learned about it. Now, the recipe is a secret, and you don't just get it. It's bestowed upon you, right? And that's how I got it. I had just moved to New York, and I was in my 20s, and I didn't have a lot of friends, but this girl from work, Amy, invited me to come with her to a dinner party that she and a couple girlfriends were throwing. We're at the party. It was kind of like my first grown-up dinner party. We're all like, you know, standing in the kitchen slash living room slash dining room because it was in New York City, drinking like red wine out of IKEA glasses. It was very exciting for me. And there's a girl talking about a guy she's dating. And she's like, "Oh, I've been out with him a couple times and I really like him, but we haven't had sex yet. And I don't know, like, is it the third date? Like, what are the rules?" And my friend, Amy, looks up from her wine and she's like, "Have you made him come fuck me penne alla vodka?" She's like, "No." And the other girls are like, "Oh yeah, you should do that. Make him come fuck me penne alla vodka." And I'm like, "Whoa." And Amy goes, "Make him come fuck me penne alla vodka, third date, done deal." I'm like, "What is this sorcery?" And the girls in the kitchen tell me that come fuck me penne alla vodka is a magical pasta recipe that when made exactly according to the recipe, you can't fuck with it, like no substitutions. When you make it exactly like the recipe, it makes men desire you like never before. It guaranteed to get you laid. Now, it's not like engagement chicken. I don't know if there are any New Yorkers in the audience who remember engagement chicken, which was like this roasted chicken recipe. When you make it for your boyfriend, he'll propose to you. And it was like a thing. It was like in magazines, and it really got famous when Howard Stern, after his divorce, was like, "I'm never getting married again." And then his now wife made engagement chicken for him, and he proposed to her. But this isn't about that. Come fuck me penne alla vodka is not about getting a ring. It's about getting laid. And it was invented by this woman, Etta Benjigal. She's a real person. I met her once. And she was dating a guy that made a similar dish for her. And she found it so delicious and sexually arousing that when she went home the next morning, she was like, "I have to recreate this recipe." So she did. She made her own version of it. And she started giving it out to girlfriends. And it was just like, this is a delicious pasta recipe. There wasn't any like sex spell intention there. But as her girlfriends started making it, they noticed they would always get laid after they made it. And then people started passing it out with the express purpose of getting laid. And it had a 100% success rate. It was magic. And I have to say, at the time, I needed magic. You know, like, I had zero confidence when it came to men. Zero. And I had these raging hormones and desires, and I didn't know what to do with them. You know, like even in college, like I had no experience. Like I had a couple of like tipsy fumblings, and I had like one, "Oh wait, was that just sex?" episode in a dorm room that lasted 3 minutes, literally, because we were listening to Full Moon Fever, the Tom Petty album. And the song "You're So Bad" was playing. And I was like, "Oh, I love this song." I just remembered that song. And when we were done, the song was still playing. And I checked iTunes before I got here, and that song is 3 minutes and 6 seconds long. But I wanted to be a seductress. Like, I wanted to be Sophia Loren, but I just didn't know how. I didn't feel comfortable in my body or with my desires. And I know there are women that are like constantly fending off advances from men, but I wasn't one of them. I was like, the quirky best friend Molly Ringwald character. Like, guys would tell me about their girl problems, and I was just, like, too shy and not sexy enough, or just a combination of both. It just wasn't happening for me. And I also grew up in a time when, like, my parents and teachers and everyone tells you that, like, all guys want from you is sex, which is, of course, like, not true. But if a guy didn't make a move, I just figured that he wasn't interested, and it never occurred to me to try to make it happen on my own. So that's where the penne comes in. So, well, first I'll say, and if anyone wants the recipe, just like hit me up after, I'll give it to you. It works fast. So be ready. Because the first time I made it, it was for Guy. We had gone out a couple times, but we hadn't had sex yet. And I made it for him, and you know when you have a really bad headache and then you take an Advil liquid gel and then like 2 seconds later you're like, oh my God, my headache's gone. Like, that's how fast it is. There's no like, let me clear the no, I'll get the dishes. No, you are being carried into the bedroom and languidly devoured. That is the only thing that happens after. The second time I made it, which was like months later, I'm not slutty. It was like a long time later. The second time I made it was for a guy I'd already slept with and we were going out, but the sex after the penne was like 1,000 times better than the sex we'd had before the penne, which is odd because it really is a heavy dish and it kind of like sits in your stomach. Come Fuck Me Penne a la Vodka is so creamy and rich and delicious that when it hits the tongue, it's like this velvety softness with like a little bit of spice and then the sweetness of the tomatoes. And you actually have to close your eyes when you eat it and just let it melt through you. And when I served it to these guys, they take one bite and then they look up from the plate as if they're seeing me for the first time. Like I had just taken glasses off, you know, or like I was Anne Hathaway post Chanel makeover in The Devil Wears Prada. And, you know, I'm a very non-confrontational person, so this was perfect for me because I felt like I was expressing myself and expressing my desires through pasta, you know, and I felt confident and powerful as long as I had the penne. And I went back to my friend and I was like, it worked. And she's like, shrugs, like totally not surprised. And she couldn't even talk long because she was in the middle of moving in with her boyfriend who she had made the penne for on their third date, and now they are happily married and have 2 children. There is only one documented case of Come Fuck Me Penne a la Vodka not working, and it's with me, the third time I made it. Okay, so I was dating this guy. He was very, very nice. He was in his 40s, and he loved comic books. And I'm not making a judgment on that. I'm just adding information. He had a twin bed with a poster of the Incredible Hulk hanging over it. Now, I know now that those are warning signs, but I was in my 20s. I didn't know that then. And we had been dating for a few months, but we had never slept together. And it was like, he would sleep over and we would cuddle. It was weird. Like, I would sometimes make jokes, like, I think I'm ready to go all the way. And he would just be like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, it was odd. Like, the Incredible Hulk is right there. You know, it's just, but then I was like, oh, the penne. I had forgotten I had this in my, you know, in my magic kit. So I invite him over, and I make the penne, and the whole, like, I have candles and red wine, it's perfect. And he, just like all the others, he takes one bite, and he looks up from the plate, he, like, sees me for the first time, and he says, this is incredible. And I was very cool, I was just like, oh, I'm so glad you like it. But inside, I'm like, you are Sophia Loren, you own this, you have it. And then that was it. Like, we had an awkward couch makeout, and then he said he was tired, and then we broke up a few weeks later. But an important coda to that episode is that A year later, he came to my house and proposed to me. I'm not kidding. And he said, I made a huge mistake. I never appreciated what we had, and we should have had sex. That was my fault. And at the time, I was dating someone else, so I declined Incredible Hulk guy's proposal. But I think it was a very delayed reaction to the panic. I do. But after that, I stopped. I just decided I didn't want to fuck with magic anymore, so I stopped making it. And, you know, like, with age and experience, I got my own confidence and started, you know, just knowing what I wanted my life to look like, with or without a man in it. You know, I started making penne for myself. I started seducing men without pasta. And then a few years later, I know everybody says this, but it really is, it's true. Like, when I wasn't looking, like, that's when you meet the person, but it's true. I wasn't looking and I met, you know, wonderful, kind, funny, handsome, like everything you want. Like, I met that guy and we got married 2 years later. And it occurs to me that, you know, I love to cook and I've been with this man for 8 years now, and I have not once at any point during those 8 years made him come fuck me penne a la vodka. And it's probably because we had sex on our first date. But I wonder if it's just because I outgrew it, or I felt like I didn't need it anymore, or maybe, and I didn't make him engagement chicken either. There was no, I think I just wanted to know that he loved me and not that I had cast a spell on him. You know, because you don't know the powers. You just gotta hands off with that. But I still have the recipe, and again, if anyone wants it, just like hit me up after the show, and I want to share it with anyone who needs it and make it not a secret anymore. Thank you.
Right now I'm hungry and I want to get laid.
Oh, I wish we had something to eat. I'm starving.
Yeah, okay, but you're going to have to eat something sexy then, like a banana.
Oh, give me a hamburger. Well done.
One burger coming up.
Hamburgers. Mm-hmm. This is a tasty burger.
Wow, the size of his pickle.
It's not a sexy food. It's just for energy.
So delicious.
Come out of my house, in my house. I'm going to give you candy. Come out of my house, I'm gonna give you everything, everything, everything. Come out of my house.
This is Risk. This is Jackie Davis behind me now, and we just heard an interstitial by Jeff Barr called Come Fuck Me in a My House. Cole Kasdan included the recipe for Come Fuck Me Penne a la Vodka in an article on the website Refinery29. You can look that up, and you can find her at colekasdan.com. And if you've got a funny story to tell, pitch it to us. Everything you need to know about how to pitch us is at risk-show.com/submissions. Folks, today's the day. Take a risk.